Have you ever been rejected by one of your kids? Maybe they say, I don't like you or I hate you. Perhaps maybe you reach out to give them a hug, which is common practice with you and that child, and they resist or they recoil. Maybe they just ignore you when you're speaking to them and pretend they don't hear. There's many forms of rejection. But today's topic on Equipped to Be, we're going to be diving into what do we do and how do we handle rejection between the parent and child relationship. All right, I just want to tell you, when I began my parenting journey, I was very much like all of you. I had this wonderful vision, and I just knew if I did it all right, if I followed the instructions, if I really focused on my children and who they were and how they experienced love and how they gave love and how they hear, I just thought, oh, this was going to be a beautiful experience. However, many, many years later, a few decades, that isn't always the case. And I'm often asked if my kids ever rejected me or if it was all peachy and wonderful and we all just got along all the time and my kids just adored me. And the answer is no. Here's the thing. When we go into this topic about rejection and our children rejecting us, it can be very painful because we think of those tender moments, those joyful milestones, and nestled in those cherished memories because they are there. There's a thorny instance of rejection, moments and little pieces that pierce your heart. Sometimes they cause great hurt and harm, and they often come with a lot of sorrow. But from the pinch-ons of the retorts from the toddler declaring that you're not my friend to the aloof demeanor of a teenager who seems to just pull back when we touch them, rejection can really break a family and a relationship between a parent and child, but it doesn't have to. In order for this to happen, though, I'm going to take you through a journey, some of my story, stories that I often find with fellow writers or speakers that they present an idea, and you know, I do too, right, of the successes, but few really pull back the curtain and let you know you're not alone, that it's normal. There may be times when not all of your kids, but maybe one or two, they reject you. And what do we do with that? As we talk about this and we pull this back today, I want you to take notes. I want you to listen, maybe re-listen to it several times. Make sure you download it for sure, because you will want to dive in and break it bit by bit, depending on the ages of your kids. When our kids do reject us for various reasons, it's unsettling. They're a very poignant reminder of the evolving nature of our relationship with our kids. They challenge us to navigate delicate balances between providing that unwavering support and giving them some independence. Now, as we embrace and talk about the echoes of rejection and a journey to wholeness, I'll share some of my story. And when we look back on this, I want to kind of break it down as to what does that mean? What does that look like? How does it hurt and how do you overcome? Any form of rejection can cause a fracture in your foundation and it certainly can be painful. I remember just constantly trying to show my children unconditional love. I poured into my children and sometimes it was met with great resistance, hurt, and misunderstanding. But the forms of rejection were many. Verbal outburst, emotional withdrawal, a preference for the company of anyone but me, the teenager who had a need for secrecy that seemed impenetrable. But understanding that these manifestations of rejection was the first step in a very long journey of healing and restoration. See, verbal rejection cuts deep. They often spring from a place of frustration in our kids and a need for autonomy. And physical withdrawal, that is a pursuit of privacy signaling the natural progression towards independence. You know, I did an episode on raising interdependent children. We have a society that's pushing raise independent kids. And then there's obviously dependent kids where they can't do anything without you. That's not healthy. I'm not suggesting we raise independent from us kids. I am suggesting for you to consider raising interdependent children, where your children grow up and have a healthy respect for who you are, the beliefs and the values that you hold, and they know that you have a healthy respect for who they are, the values and the philosophies they ascribe to. What is beautiful about that is a coexistence. It's a beautiful dynamic for an interdependent relationship. You go to them and ask them for suggestions and help, and vice versa. Now, this is obviously as a child gets older, but they do have a natural desire to grow up, and we should let that happen. And while criticism and embarrassment are reflective in their budding nature of being their self-identity and their awareness of who they are and who God made them to be, sometimes navigating the landscape requires more than patience. It demands a profound willingness for you to let go of the hurt and embrace the forgiveness. It was a process that couldn't be rushed in my case, one that unfolded in quiet moments of real deep thought and prayer, fervent prayers of just whispering in the quietness of my devotion. Oftentimes, as I would lie awake at night, mulling through what was said or what was done, or what did I do? What could I have done? Would it ever be better? And I know if you are facing some rejection with some of your children, those are common thoughts. We just don't often hear people talk about them. Here's what we have to understand, that you're going to have to learn to go beyond the surface of what was said, what was done, what was inferred, what was ignored. You're going to have to recognize that rejection was not a negation of your love, but it was rather an expression of your child's growing pains internally, emotionally, physically. Now, sometimes our kids can reject us, but more often than not, and if you do some research, you'll find most of the time our children are pushing back and pushing away because they're trying to become something and they're really not sure what that looks like. And I write about this in Parenting Beyond the Rules. Our kids don't know how to do it perfectly. They don't know how to grow up perfectly. They don't know how to articulate what they think, how they feel, and how they're experiencing the world around them. You know, in my family, we have a very large family. And in my family, every single one of each family member is different. Do you have that? They're not cookie cutters. They're not just like my husband, Tom, and they're not just like me. Some of them get along really well with Tom, and some of them get along really well with me, and some struggle. And guess what? We struggle with some of them. That's an honest statement that we have to be able to say, not with a desire to hurt or harm, but so that we can understand the nature of relationships. When you stop long enough throughout your parenting journey to acknowledge that the differences that you have, the way that they think, feel, and experience the world around them, and how you do, and how those are different, then you're able to ask the Lord, give me the words to speak to this child. Show me how to love this child. Show me the way that I need to approach a situation. Now, I wrote in Parenting Beyond the Rules, I gave an example of knowing the difference in my children. I am, and my kids all know this, I wake up happy and early. And most of my kids throughout some of seasons of their childhood wanted to not wake up early, and they didn't wake up happy. But I was ready to go. I'd be up having exercised for an hour, had my quiet time, and started working on breakfast by 7 a.m. Not because I'm superwoman, but because I'm naturally awake in the morning. And so I would walk into the kids' rooms every morning and say, oh, maybe not every morning, but I'd walk into their rooms almost every morning, and I'd be like, good morning, it's time to start our day. Now, some of my children thought that was lovely, and then some of them did not appreciate it. And we sit and laugh about it to this day, how they can remember mom's footsteps coming down the hallway, going, good morning, good morning. And they would throw the sheet over their head. Were they being disrespectful? No. They were expressing they're not morning people. And I wrote about in Parenting Beyond the Rules a time where my daughter, who was already grown and moved out of the house, she and I were going to have a shopping day. And so I know that this child takes longer in the morning to get going. And I don't. So when she pulled into my driveway at 9 a.m., I was so eager to see her. Boy, I mean, she had moved out, was living on her own. And I'm like, man, I miss that. I miss those days where I can't walk in your room and just say good morning or spend time with you throughout the day. I miss that. So I was so excited to see her. I hopped in the car and immediately started talking. Da 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 da. Probably, you know, they always say 100 miles a minute. I was just talking. I wanted to know about her week, about her night, how her morning went. And she just paused and she looked at me and she said, hey, Mom, can you dial that down for just a little bit? Just let me get to 9 o'clock and get a cup of coffee. Now, here's the deal. As I write about in the book, I could take that and see that as you are rejecting me. Here I am showing you love and enthusiasm, an eagerness. I can't wait to see you. I love you so much. And you've just rejected me. I could view it that way, or I could see it a different way. I understand you. I understand your need for a slow on-ramp to your day. So all I did was quiet down, give her time and a cup of coffee, and then we were good. It didn't take her very long to realize her mom is opposite of her. And within like a minute or so of driving, she said, hey, Mom, I hope you know I wasn't trying to hurt your feelings. See, that's a mother-daughter relationship that my daughter was in her 20s at that point. There was already an understanding that we both think, feel, and experience the world around us differently. But what do you do when they're toddlers? What do you do when they're in elementary school or middle school or high school? Each season of raising children brings on its own set of opportunities to be rejected for something. What we do with that is our responsibility. I will say that the seasons of facing real rejection were opportunities. They were opportunities to be willing to let go of hurt and to embrace forgiveness. It's a process and it can't be rushed. It's going to take time. And for me, in my situation, as we unpack rejection and dealing with rejection, you get to practice this time and time again. See, a path to restoration after there's been rejection takes lots of thinking through, dismantling your own thoughts, putting boundaries and safe places around so you can't be experienced that same level of hurt, rejection, or pain. You have to remind yourself that this journey, it wasn't about reclaiming the closeness that we once shared. It was about forging a new relationship, one that respected each other's individuality. My children, as they became adults, there were things that we had to work through. And as you are in your season, and as we dive further into rejection, I have to say prayer plays a pivotal role. Prayer plays a pivotal role in the building of your relationship, in repairing rejection, hurt. The journey, it's just fraught with challenges. I mean, there's just kind of no way around that. But let's look at some of the ways that we may experience some rejection. And that's the verbal rejection. That's easy. Most people know that. It's the words that people say. It's the words that our kids say. Often it's said in moments with high emotion. And let's face it, those words can sting. It's why I wrote in Parenting Beyond the Rules, monitor your mouth. You know, you got to think about the words you say. Are they going to land in a tender place of your child's heart? Now, you have to also teach these to your children. Remember, I said earlier, your kids don't know how to articulate their feelings and construct it all in a way of keeping you in mind. Your kids are just thinking about themselves, and it's our job to help them think about others. That's the nature of parenting and raising kids. They have to learn their words can cause harm, can hurt, can inflict pain, can be, like I said, that thorny bush that pricks the heart. There's the physical rejection. You know, when your child doesn't want you to give them a hug or a kiss before bed, or they don't want any form of affection, whether that's a pat on the shoulder or any kind of gesture. You know, physical, when you see a physical withdrawal, that is a silent form of rejection. It's signaling a need. Do you know what that need is? It's signaling a need for space. They're telling you something isn't right in my world. Maybe it's with you. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's with a sibling. You know what? Maybe it's with themselves. See, there's a host of reasons why our children do and say the things they do and say. So you have the opportunity, because you're the parent, you're the adult in the room, you get to help them understand. Ignoring your efforts. Oh, I've heard this so many times. Parents experience rejection when their attempts to like engage their kids, whether it's a conversation, hey, what would you like for dinner? Or do you want to go with me to the store? Do you want to go shopping? Or gestures of love, a note that is left. Maybe you put a note in their lunchbox or a note on their bathroom mirror. And they're met with just indifference, or they're just straight up ignored. And your first thought is, did they see it? Our first thought is, well, we have two thoughts. One is, what's wrong with you? And the other is, oh, did I do something? And depending on your personality is going to dictate which one of those is your first reaction. Mine is always, did I do something? Not because I'm known to be the one that always does something, but because I don't view myself as perfect and doing it all right. And I wanted my children to know, hey, I'm willing to, hey, let's have a conversation. If I've done something, let's make sure we eliminate that from this equation. It disarms whatever's going on because it's not confrontational. It's very humble. Another one would be choosing one parent over the other. Oh my goodness. Kids are masters at being able to work their parents. If they are in the same home, they'll do it, you know, by running to one parent over the other. If you are in a divorce situation and you have to split custody or you're not living together, they'll have conversations with one parent and they'll come back and you'll think, what happened to my kid? Where did you get this stuff? Well, choosing one parent over another is a common scenario. And even if you and your husband or your spouse, significant other, even if you're on the same page, your children will still they'll have seasons, and I guess that's the best way to say it, where they may prefer one parent over the other. Maybe they want one parent who's going to comfort them or play, go outside and play with them or go to a game. Or there'll be one parent that they just feel they can tell more of their secrets to. I write in Parenting Beyond the Rules, your teens have a secret world. And as a parent, you want to be invited into that. But in order for your children to get to that level of vulnerability as a teen or tween, they have to trust you. And sometimes one parent is trusted more than the other with those really deep-seated fears or concerns or worries. But that doesn't negate the fact that if you feel like your kid is favoring one parent over the other, that still is a form of rejection to that parent. And it does hurt. And can I just throw in a note here? If that is happening, would you just be careful not to think that's the way it's always going to be, but to see it for what it is, just this season, just this moment, just this one area, or in a month, a week, a year, 2, 10, it could be very different because your child is going to grow and change and mature. Another one would be rebelling against rules. Kids, as they get older, well, actually toddlers reject rules too. Why do they have meltdowns and moodiness? Sometimes I think teens revert back to toddlers. They're just louder and longer and they're stronger. But kids, they reject the household rules and the boundaries. You know, how many times have you said, don't open that, don't do that, don't touch that, you're gonna get hurt, you're gonna fall. And what do those children do? They do it anyway, or they try. When your kids start pushing back against the rules, there's a sign of they're trying to gain some independence. Yes, and that does happen even at toddlerhood, that doesn't mean we let our toddlers run free and wild. It means we help guide them and distract them with other things. Toddlers, if you have a toddler, it's very easy to distract a toddler, to change direction and change course and change focus. Elementary school, it's similar. You divert their attention to something else, but you're also able to have more of a conversation because communication is more enhanced in an elementary school child, let's say 6 to 10-year-old, than it is in a 2 to 4-year-old. That's very important to understand. But even if your children starts pushing back against the rules, it doesn't mean the rules are non-existent. It means that we can pivot and adjust in a way that makes sense for your family and for that child. Another area that we can experience rejection is privacy and secrecy. As children grow, especially teenagers, they seek to be more private. They do shut the door. They have secret behaviors that may feel like it's rejection, even though it may be a normal part of them just trying to be autonomous. We do have to be careful because I will tell you, as having spoken and written on parenting in tween years extensively, there is a fine line. And in order for you to know when to give the space, you've got to have a very healthy relationship with that child and know what the need of space for space is and what they're doing in that time of space. You can still give your child that sense of privacy and secrecy, and as trust and respect are prevalent in that relationship. If trust gets broken, that's a different conversation. Sometimes our kids reject us for social and emotional distance. Maybe there's a subtle form where the child seems emotionally disconnected or just frankly would rather to have be around anybody but you. They want a space from the parent-child relationship. That can be painful because that's the time where you start thinking, man, we should be getting closer and things are getting more strained and distant. And so you work harder and harder and harder for your kids to want you, to see you as their greatest cheerleader, and all they're doing is pushing back. I know this pain from experience. So often you'll get to a point where you'll just want to say, forget it. That's a reaction to the pain you're feeling. Don't do that. Find another way to enter in. Step back, look at the situation. Look at your child. Examine your need for their acceptance or their appreciation for what you're doing. And then pray about it. Remember I said, working through is a willingness to lay things down and let go. Sometimes our kids, they reject our family traditions, especially in the adolescent years. And many of them just react to the traditions that you have, the values, the activities that they once enjoyed as a way of forgetting their own identity. I see that happening more and more in our culture, a resisting and a pulling away and a rejection of the family traditions. If that's going on in your home, I'm going to encourage you strongly to make sure you keep communicating to your children, this is our family, this is how we do things, this is our life, we're going to do life together. We can adjust and pivot, but also there are going to be some things that you do, and I've done several podcasts on traditions, family traditions. Some traditions will stand the test of time, and some will only exist for a season. Some of them, it's okay to lay down, especially if you're a family who does, like our family used to go camping all the time. It was just one of the things a large family could do, and we'd have so much fun. But then there was a season that we had to stop. We just couldn't pull it together anymore because the needs of our family, the interests of our kids changed. But we'll talk about the decades that we went camping and the shenanigans that happened. And there's two more. Criticism. I've done a podcast on criticism, correcting, and criticizing. There is a difference. If you're critical of your kids' choices, their lifestyle, their personality, they're going to be deeply wounded and even feel rejected. And what happens? Hurt people hurt people. Our kids, what? They don't know how to express themselves in a way that articulates what's going on with them. So they lash out, they act out, they do say things, they'll push against what you're saying. And expressing embarrassment. I will say it's a phase that many parents dread when children express embarrassment about their parents' behavior, their appearance, or just their presence in the public and social settings. That was probably the hardest thing for me, when I felt like I didn't measure up. Everybody was better than me. Now, did you hear what I just said? Did you hear my own exaggeration? Everybody was better than me. We can get an Eeyore mindset if we're not careful. But if you're guarding your thoughts, if you are thinking about that child and what that child needs, if you're seeing that maybe they're just not doing a very good job of explaining what's going on in them, and as a result, it's hurting you, they're doing it because you're the closest one to them. They feel safe. If you have a healthy relationship, then your kids know they can trust you, and that even if they do these things, you will still be there. You will not give up. You will not turn away. You will not resist. That's love. That's the measurements of a healthy relationship. Trust, respect, care, compassion, understanding, forgiving. Those are the things that our kids need as they navigate through the seasons of toddler, elementary, middle, high school, college, and beyond. Rejection is painful, friends. And yes, as I began in the opening of this episode, I talked about, people have often asked me, did any of my kids ever reject me? And the answer was yes. I don't talk about it. Why? Not because I'm private, but because it was a story. It was an intimate situation that had to be worked through in the privacy of our homes. If you know people who act like that doesn't ever happen, I would ask you to maybe consider there might be more to the story than that. Maybe they're still in the middle of working through it. Maybe they haven't worked through it. Maybe there's a brokenness and both have just kind of put it and resided to the fact of, this is just what it's going to be. I'm going to declare now, that is not how it has to be. God is bigger than that. God is able to work and restore. He is able to restore a relationship. What has been hurt, harmed, broken, fractured, whatever it is, can be put back together. You're going to have to invest time, intentionality, energy, thought, humbleness, a willingness to keep trying, asking hard questions. Sometimes you're just going to have to accept the nature of the relationship that you have. Enter in when you can, where you're allowed, and bring that positive, enthusiastic love, joy, unconditional love, and joy that you are so glad to be their parent. So in this session, as we've talked about rejection, we start out on a journey never thinking that that will be possible. And then the small little pieces happen, the small little forms of rejection happen along the way. Deal with them immediately. Don't let them pile up. You don't have to hash them all out with your children. You can see it for what it is, an immature child or a need of a certain child. But I just want to beg you, please, don't accept that's the way it's always going to be. Because then you're discounting the power of a living act of God who is constantly working to change us and grow us and form us and shape us into the person He wants us to be. If you are dealing with rejection in your family and maybe you haven't come to a resolve, maybe you don't understand that teenager or tween who pushes back, who says things that hurt you, who are resisting you, let me know. Send us an email. I want to pray for you. I want to be there walking you alongside it. I want to give you an infusion of hope and encouragement and some strategies of things you can do and ways you can say things. This is a glorious journey, it is. It's a refining process, my friend. And it's one that'll make you more like Christ. It'll also make your children into the people that God has made them to be. And that's the nature of building a family. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Equipped to Be, and we'll see you next time.
Well, that wraps up this episode of Equipped to Be. If you enjoyed this show, please share it with a friend or family member and hit subscribe so you don't miss a show. And thank you again for joining me. Remember that we are equipped for every season of life.